Hello, hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Cleghorn, recovering from a flu bug or a cold that's got my voice all messed up. So pardon me. I hope you can hear me okay. This podcast is for mamas navigating their childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I am so excited that you have decided to include me on a part of your journey. And I am so excited today to welcome Devra Kerr. She works with women who have problems with fertility and somatic healing. Thank you so much for joining me today, Devra.
Thanks, Emily. And just to correct you, it's Devora.
Devora.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Apologies.
No problem. Yeah.
Why don't we get started, Devora, with you sharing with our listeners how you got to where you are.
Okay. Thank you. So for me, sometimes, you know, life is traveling in a certain direction and you think that's just the way it's going to be. And I was one of those people, age 25. I had a career in interior design, which I really enjoyed. I have a creative side. And then my father was diagnosed with colon cancer. And this was a big, big, huge shock. And it was terminal, and it was like hit us all in the face. And I started reading books all about healing and wellness and well-being and the role of the patient, and is everything up to doctors, and what is the role that the patient can have in his own life and his own healing journey. And the more I read, the more I was inspired and almost drawn into a world I didn't know so much about. And 14 months later, my father passed away, which was very, very sad, and a huge trauma for me because I had been very close to him and had to learn to navigate life without him. And the more I continued with all of this learning, the more I wanted to help others. While I was trying to find answers myself, I wanted to help others. And so eventually I changed careers and I actually picked reflexology because I wanted to work with the body to be well. And this was a very exciting journey for me, and I became a reflexologist, but this became then quite limiting for me because infertility clients would say, why can't I have a baby? I just want to have a baby. What's wrong with me? Why can't I have a baby? And I didn't have answers for them. I could offer them, I'll stimulate the hormonal system, we'll work the ovaries, we'll work the uterus, we'll try and get, you know, the body right. But I couldn't help with their existential pain. And this was hard for me because I wanted to. All these why questions, even the cancer patients, why do I have to be sick? Or why do I have to have this digestive issue? And I just couldn't answer any of these questions. And then I came across logotherapy, which is the teachings of Dr. Viktor Frankl. And his famous book, Man's Search for Meaning, really documented his 4 years in the concentration camps where he was a prisoner for 4 years. And being a psychiatrist before the war, he was interested in people overcoming struggle and difficulty and how do they do it. So while he was actually a prisoner in the camps, he was part of this like human experiment to see, what are people doing here to overcome these horrendous conditions? And eventually he had this like feeling one day he wants to teach about the divine power of the human spirit. And so he saw like a hope for his future about getting out there and teaching in universities and helping anyone get over difficult and challenging times. And so this is kind of one of the things that he had, was something about hope, about seeing a future. And he also saw things that even although like he had no food to eat and he was starving and he was doing terrible work and the conditions were so traumatic, he still felt that there were some places where he did have control. Like he could control that he smiled at the person next to him who was having a hard time. And he could look forward every day to the sun setting that would bring some joy into his life. And he started finding all of these things. And he could find things to have humor about. Like he says, humor was the one thing that got him through. So after the war, he survived. His family didn't, his wife didn't, his parents didn't. And he wrote this book, Man's Search for Meaning. And what he says is that when we can find meaning in the struggle, the trauma, the difficulty, and the challenges, we can overcome it, right? Mm-hmm. That even though this event was so hard and difficult, something in you changed because of it, and that could be empowering. Like, what can you do because of that? Sometimes in life, we learn, I was saying this to a client this morning, we learn a positive example from a negative experience. Like if your parents were stingy, you could learn generosity. It's in the wrong way, but you're still learning it. You learn what you don't want to be. You know, what ought not to be, you learn it from what is, right? So in life, and once I learned logotherapy, and logos means meaning in Greek. So that's, he termed this arm of psychology, he termed it logotherapy. And once I learned this, then I could help my clients on a more, much deeper level of understanding their why me questions. Why do I have to be sick? Why can't I have a baby? Why do I have to have this autoimmune disease? And we could start looking at different kinds of questions to ask. Instead of why me, we could start asking what now? Instead of looking at the eyes from a victim perspective, we could start looking from the eyes of the victor. This has happened. This is terrible. What can I do about it? Where do I still have some free choice? Where do I have some control? Mm-hmm. And the more I learned about this, the more like I wanted to empower. Firstly, myself, I was healing from my father, losing my father. And I wanted to help others on such a deep level to overcome their victim circumstances, the things from the past which have held them stuck for so long and so long. And eventually then I studied bereavement counseling, which I feel also I learned that to help my own grieving process. And for me, it's a privilege. I volunteer in this field of helping people overcome very hard and tragic losses, and how to be able to move forward instead of moving on, like how to be able to take the challenge and difficulty and the loss and find a way to honor this person or to forgive this person who might have done so much wrong for you or whatever it is. So I feel it's a real privilege to work with people in that space where they might be struggling so much and it's so challenging. And mm-hmm. to use some of Dr. Frankl's ideas of seeing hope for a future. Mm-hmm. So that's what I love to do. And sometimes when I've worked with clients, especially those who have had difficult health situations, where we look at something, you know, someone once said to me, you know, it's wonderful, all these ideas that you teach. But, you know, one person said to me, my mother had BRCA gene, so did my grandmother and my aunt, and now I've got it. So what am I supposed to do now? So I said, there's so much still available to you. You could start a support group because you understand mm-hmm. what it is to have had family members who you've lost. You can be mm-hmm. such a help for others. If we change the mindset, because we might not be able to change the circumstances. This has happened. Or it happened in the past or it's happening now. And we can't, mm-hmm. you know, we can't turn that off, but there's still so much where we have freedom. And this is how I love to empower people in this realm. So,
Wow. It's amazing how so often our own journeys, working through something difficult or tragic or whatever it might be, often leads us to helping others
absolutely.
Walk through that same type of experience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's beautiful, really, when you think about it. So
yeah.
in your experience, mm-hmm. how have you helped mamas who come to you who have some sort of a birth trauma?
So I studied after all of that studying. I did some more studying. I studied somatic experiencing, which is a trauma therapy that we do in the level of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't know, something in my life has drawn me to women with infertility, women with birth traumas, something about transition in motherhood or losing mm-hmm. a child or something like that has really drawn me to want to help, to say that this doesn't have to be your circumstances forever. And somatic experiencing is so magnificent because the body stores the wound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially for women who have a birth trauma, and if they, let's say the trauma has been that, you know, something with the baby, and they come mm-hmm. home and they're dealing with the baby, and they themselves might have been, had an injury during the birth or something, that they come home and they still have to function as a mom. They still have to get up and do everything they've got to do, but their body is in trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So this doesn't have to be the story. There are ways of discharging trauma from the body. And somatic experiencing is really a magnificent tool to help people release and discharge stuck energy, which is in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And really what happens with trauma is when Dr. Peter Levine, who's the founder of Somatic Experiencing, such an incredible human being, he says that we need a witness. When someone can witness our pain, that is a form of discharge as well. So mm-hmm. it's an empathic ear who is hearing and witnessing what we have been through. And when there is fear, coupled with helplessness, fear and helplessness, this is what creates stuck energy in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And through somatic experiencing, we are able to help the client discharge and release that which didn't serve them. Those moments of feeling helpless, mm-hmm. of feeling petrified, of even mm-hmm. being fearful of dying, to be able to help them overcome the difficulties and return them back to themselves.
Yeah, I think it's so important for mamas to understand that just because you had a traumatic experience during labor and delivery or during your pregnancy doesn't mean that you have to carry that with you for the rest of your life, and that you can work through it while simultaneously being a fantastic mom to your little bundle of joy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's lots of help out there. One doesn't have to put it off or think, you know, this is my life forever.
Yeah.
One can, One woman who came to me after a very hard delivery, she, the baby was fine after the delivery, but because she's very petite, she tore so badly right through to the anus, she tore. And the trauma that came with that and the healing after it was just so petrifying that you can imagine young woman who now intimacy is a problem and going to the toilet is a problem, the pain, and then having to come home to the mom who now has to look after this baby when she needed so much healing herself. So and actually this trauma happened where I'm just trying to not make sure I'm not combining two different ones. No, I'm actually am combining two different ones in a different trauma where the mom knew from placenta previa, she knew she was having a C-section, so she had already been prepped. And the doctor had promised her that her husband could be in with her. She was absolutely petrified. It was her first birth. Mm-hmm. And when it came to giving birth, it was in the middle of COVID. The doctor at the last minute said, no husband in the room. And so now she entered absolutely petrified and alone, which is like the breeding pool for trauma. So afterwards, like she was anxious and weepy and crying all the time and feeling alone and abandoned by her doctor. Her husband wasn't there. She felt totally disconnected and with all this responsibility of the baby. Mm-hmm. So what we did, which first we addressed when we work with somatic experiencing, we first addressed the fear, the pain, what was going on at the time, the helplessness, and we see what was missing. And then there's a beautiful, beautiful idea. Like one woman had said to me that she had a very harsh midwife who was, you can do it, just breathe, it's not sore, you know, and she felt that she didn't get the support she needed. So what we can do is, because the body is experiencing that, so that is where the body holds that pain and that trauma and that abandonment, that's where the body holds it. So what I did with her is we do something. First, we process the fear, we process the pain, we process the helplessness. And after that, we offer the body a new experience. We offer the body a corrective experience of what would have been helpful at the time for you. So when I asked this woman, so the one with the nurse who was the midwife who was, you know, quite dominant and harsh with her and uncaring, she said, if I would have had the midwife I had with my first birth, wow, that would have been brilliant. So I said to her, okay, imagine you did have that midwife. Mm-hmm. Imagine her coming into the room, and I know it didn't happen, but what difference would it have made if she came into the room and she was there holding your hand, stroking your forehead and saying all the words you needed to hear. Mm-hmm. So she just went like this. Oh, that would have made all the difference. And mm-hmm. in that exhale, that organic breath, she discharges all that fear and helplessness, because all of a sudden her nervous system is experiencing, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. In this moment, I'm not alone. And it mm-hmm. doesn't matter that this was not the midwife in this birth, it was from a different birth. But now her body has released the fear, has discharged the helplessness, and we've given her a connecting, secure attachment mm-hmm. experience to help her through the trauma, to release it and to come back to herself. And that's how the healing can come about.
Yeah, when you don't feel alone, it changes so much.
Absolutely.
There in the middle when you were talking, my son decided that he was going to try and come in, and I freaked out. I was like, no. So if you heard my son screaming, he's okay. He's just throwing a temper tantrum. He's three. So it's what happens when you have a three-year-old and you're working from home.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Absolutely.
Now to get my thoughts back in order.
The danger has passed. And I actually think, Emily, that's so real, because that's what happens. Life happens. And we have to be able to notice the fear that came. Oh my God, the podcast is going to get ruined now. You know, and then if we can notice where that fear sits and we can be with it and hold it like a small child that's fearful that the project is going to get ruined. And we're like, okay, it's okay, everything's going to be fine. Then we can self-regulate for ourselves as well.
Yeah.
And we can then discharge it. It doesn't have to build up within us.
Yeah. Yeah. This is mamahood after trauma. Mamahood for real. So, Deborah, what are a few things, maybe one, two steps that mm-hmm. a mama who is listening, who is, maybe she just had a traumatic birth. Maybe she had a traumatic birth in the last few years with everything that's been going on with COVID. What are some of the steps that she could start with at home on her own when she's got some time during nap time or a few minutes after the kids are in bed? What could she do?
So I think the first thing to do is to be aware and start connecting to the body. So where trauma sits is in the level of sensation in the body. Thoughts happen in the mind, mm-hmm. and we experience our feelings happen in a different part of the brain, in the limbic system, and our sensations is where trauma happens. So if a woman starts to notice she's getting activated, all right, she's feeling not herself, she's feeling weeping, okay, to actually notice, where is this in my body? Where am I feeling? Oftentimes it's in the throat. The throat closes and you feel like a clasping in the throat. Or that fear arises when a recollection of the pain or the helplessness. To have a look and just scan the body and say, where is the sensation? So let's say the sensation is like a knot in the stomach. So to literally put her hands on her stomach and say, wow, there you are. There you are. I'm here. I'm here. You're not alone. And just to notice it and keep noticing it and notice it some more and give it attention and it will discharge. And some of the ways the body discharges is like this organic breath. Oh, could be that. It could be a yawn. Could be a little mild shaking. So just to allow the body to sit with it when it comes, because oftentimes people push through. Oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Let me distract myself. Let me eat something. Let me drink something. So what I'm saying is sit with it. Notice it. Put your hand there like you would to a small child. Oh, there you are, my pain. Mm-hmm. Let me hold you for a moment. Let me send you some love. I can hear you in pain right now. And then that allows the body to naturally and organically discharge. So that I think is the first thing. And what would be something else? To be aware of what's going on in the body, that if fear or helplessness comes about, it doesn't mean they've done something wrong. It means that something has happened in their nervous system that needs correcting, needs help, needs discharging, and they should speak about it. They should never just hold it inside trying to push through. I never encourage pushing through. Something is hard for you, speak about it. And I think what sometimes happens in why your podcast is so beautiful is because women feel no one knows what I'm going through. It's just me who's experiencing this. So to reach out in places that feel safe or people who feel safe and speak about it, that is also a way of feeling like spreading the burden. Like I'm not carrying this on my shoulders all by myself.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and it's interesting because as mothers, we hold it all in and we don't talk about the ugly truth of how we feel sometimes, even though it's not necessarily ugly, it's just the truth of how we're feeling. And we hold it in and we hide it away because we don't want to complain or there's too many other things to do, whatever it might be. And we feel so isolated. And the big purpose behind mamahood after trauma is to talk about the feelings that we're all having and nobody's really talking about. So Thank you so much for joining me today to talk about healing birth trauma and sharing some of your story about what you've overcome and how you help clients. How can people reach out to you if they want to connect with you further?
With pleasure. Thanks, Emily. It's really been wonderful chatting with you. If people want to contact me, it's through my website, www.dk, which is my initials, Devorah Kerr, DK Wellness, wellness.co.il. And I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube. I'm sure you're going to post those with the link as well. I'm available there. Just search my name. And I've also written a book, which I feel will really be helpful and supportive for your listeners. And my book is called Man's Search for Healing. And it is all logotherapy ideas of finding meaning especially connected to health and healing. And I speak about the difference between being healed and being cured. I speak about forgiveness. I speak about attitudes and gratitude and mind-body wellness and connection there between the mind and the body. And I also tell my story. You know, 1 year ago, I had a terrible, terrible accident, a trauma. I fell and broke my neck. And I speak about how I applied all of these tools to help myself not have PTSD. So there is a lot of stories about, because I feel people really can connect to stories. They understand, yes, I have a bit of that, or wow, other people also have something similar to me. So I feel people are empowered by stories. There's a lot of stories and case studies, my own personal stories. And it really is a tool to empower people to help themselves be active participants in their own love. You don't have to be taken down by the trauma that you've experienced. There is help for you, and you can be helped, and you can also help yourself. So I share a lot of this in my book, and it's available on Amazon, Man's Search for Healing.
Awesome. I will include a link to your book on Amazon, as well as your website, in the description of this episode. Thank you. Thank you so much, friends, for joining me for this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you liked at all what you heard, please like and subscribe to my YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications when new episodes go live every single week. Thank you so much. And hopefully next week, my voice is back to normal. See you then.
Bye-bye. Bye.